Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is Second Contact, a Lower Decks commentary podcast. I'm Charlene Schmidt, and with me, as always, is
Tristan Riddell.
Yes, and my co-host, Lafayette, my cat, supervising in the background, making sure everything goes as planned and we are not deceived by others.
So if you hear a meow in the background, that's where it's coming from.
Very possible. Now, if he's antsy and wants to get outside, he's had enough and he thinks we're good, might happen. Sorry if it does. Not sorry.
Now, this week, though, we have very few cat interactions. Pretty much only one in the episode.
One scene. With Dr. Ta'ana. That's it. And it's very short.
But I really like this. When I saw the title, when I clicked on it, Where Pleasant Fountains Lie, I was like, that is such a Star Trek title. Oh my gosh.
It's a TOS-esque title too, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's perfect because we've got some wonderful callbacks to original series-esque themes, which we ought to just dive in and talk about right away because I'm very, very excited to watch this episode again.
Well, let's just go ahead and get going then. And those of you, if this is your first time listening, what we do is we do the commentary on the track and we cue it up with however you're watching it. So if you're watching it on Paramount Plus, we hit pause right after you see the rating. And
yep,
black then screen. We say 3, 2, 1, play, and then you play with us and then you're synced up. And
right.
This rating was TV-14 for violence, but good Lord, I really think there should have added another category in there.
You think so?
I think so. And we'll talk about that
nothing
when we get
really
to it.
Really happen?
Oh, come on. Okay. Come on. All right. Here we go. Everybody
okay,
ready?
Okay, let's get into this.
All right. 3, 2, 1, play.
All right. I enjoy... First off, right off the bat, we're just going to dive right into the story. We don't need some cutesy teaser. The teaser is going to tell us what this is all about.
Yeah, and I like that this was felt like a humanitarian mission, not so much a clean like I mean, yeah, it's cleanup, but at the same time, it's not like oh, we're trudging along. We got to do second contact. It felt like no, these people need help,
sure,
and they're getting help.
Yes. Yet another victim to a computer taking things over. It's evil and manipulative. We've seen and heard this story before, yeah?
Yeah, like you said at the top of the show, this is a very TOS theme. And I like that it's what's his name? Who's voicing it?
Jeffrey Combs.
I totally blanked. Jeffrey Combs. And I love how he tries to appeal to Ransom's muscles. To get him to
I gotta give it to this computer. He is very good at being a manipulator. He instantly knows where to go.
I never get tired of seeing the alien counselor on the bridge.
The counselor?
And it just, again, like there's no reason for it. We've never seen him be useful on the bridge whatsoever, but he's always there.
And they gotta be doing that on purpose, right?
Oh,
making
it's a
commentary here.
It's a total callback to Deanna.
Yeah. And he's getting even fewer lines than she is.
Yeah. Yes, that's true. Now, at least we actually saw Deanna do stuff.
Right. Now, I guess it's because I forget what is his name? The counselor. Paul F. Tompkins is the voice. I know that.
Yeah.
Totally brain farting. But yeah, he isn't an empath. So I guess he can't even say, well, I sense manipulation.
Well, he's
deep joy
he's
and
angry,
gratitude.
Captain, clearly.
Right? Yeah, I want Paul F. Tompkins to get more lines with this character. Nevertheless, it is nice to just see him there as a presence.
So,
and I'm so excited for this episode because of one thing that I've mentioned long ago, which was, I want to know more about Billups. Here we go. We're getting it.
You got your wish. Yes, this is very much a Billups episode. How cool is that?
Yay!
So
yeah, it makes me so happy.
What I wanted to ask you is since we're over the credits, what were your first impressions of this episode? Like, how'd you walk away from it?
In one word, solid.
Oh,
two
yeah.
really good stories. It wasn't like constant laugh out loud, funny, oh my gosh, you're just totally killing it. but it was good. It was well written. Both of these stories have advancement and growth, and there's a resolution at the end. It's satisfying. It's good. How about you?
Exact same feeling, exact same sentiment. That is what I was going to say, because nice. Like it, this is not a laugh out loud funny episode, but it's really entertaining. I feel like this was probably the closest to a non-animated Star Trek episode, if that makes sense.
That very well could be.
I know it has a lot of ridiculous stuff in it. It's still Lower Decks, but this felt like, even if you took away some of the ridiculousness and maybe just a little bit of the humor, this is a solid Star Trek episode.
It really is. And they're putting the Lower Decks spin on it, of course, especially with the Billups side of things. And when we get there, I can't wait to dig into that with you. But we've also got the supercomputer, which has been done several times, and yet we're going to get just a little bit of a different twist. And I so appreciate that. I just want to say that outright.
And then knowing that Billups is secretly royalty, but has denounced it so that he could join Starfleet is so Star Trek.
Yes, I love the way that they developed this. Do you remember back in season one, it was in the lounge, somebody said, and it was almost like they were trying to, not spread a rumor, but it's like, is he really a virgin or something like that? Or did you know that Billups is a virgin, something like that?
I completely missed that.
It's practically a throwaway line. And yet this whole story is going to revolve around why. I love it.
It makes me wonder, so like, if they knew that Billups was royalty that they were going to bring out at a later season.
I would love to know just how much they mapped out
as
they started writing all these episodes. Yeah, did they give this backstory?
The planet was colonized by Renfair people. I love that. It's so perfect.
And it also has kind of more, again, a TOS type of feel. Like these are like Renfair people who are like, you know, their whole culture revolves around kings and queens and armor and sex.
Kings and queens and armors and sex. Now look at the cod piece on that guy.
Right? It's very sexualized. It's very amplifying.
It was funny because like when they first came in and you saw like tons of cleavage on the female guard, I was like, come on, like let's and then I saw the man, I was just like, oh, okay, good. They balanced it out with like a hilariously gigantic cod piece.
Yes, yes. Everybody gets to be over sexualized in this culture.
I'm more than a royal stud. I just
stud.
And why are they cheering? Them. Like they're chanting, Billups.
Here's so my weird. Theory is this is not the first time this has happened on the Cerritos. They know what's up. So they, I think, love the fact that their chief engineer is really a prince in his culture, and he's choosing to be there.
I feel like this line that Rutherford gave really plays to the audience of the show. Like, who would watch the show where he's like, what? I love my comfort zone. It's so comfortable.
I made a note of that, too. That might be my favorite line in this whole episode. Because really, as human beings, we love our comfort zones. We love what's familiar to us. It feels nice because we're used to it. Going out of it is scary, and we don't like that.
Now, I want to know what Okinawa ramen is, because that sounds delicious. One thing that I really like about this shuttle crash is that it happens so fast. There's enough for them to say that they got into a gravimetric shear and that they're going down, but then boom, it's impact. So many times in Star Trek, they give you like 6 lines of exposition and like it takes them like a full 3 minutes to crash.
Yeah, not here. I almost got a little bit of like Generations type vibes as they descended to make their impact on, what is this, a planet? Yeah, I guess so. Just a little flash.
She got a fracture and a dislocation.
Yeah.
Okay, great. You know, like that happened.
Not a problem, apparently.
Not a problem. I know this is a very Star Trek thing, but there's no seatbelts. There's no airbags. They just crash landed from space. And
can you imagine?
Brad Word's hair is just a little muffled. And
just a tad.
It always makes me laugh because I'm like, what kind of like security measures are there? Like what, like, do they could use the inertia dampers as an excuse, you know?
Right. I figure that's how they rationalize that in the 24th century as to why they don't need seatbelts. And yet, no, you could still use them. I'm just saying. Now, I have to ask you, are you a fan of black licorice?
I am. I really like black licorice.
You are?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, because I feel like the situation where the replicator is only giving you black licorice is either somebody's nightmare or they're just totally cool with it and bring it on.
Well, I love how they specified dry black licorice because my mother...
As opposed to wet.
There's fresh and stale. And my mother, when she That's will true. Open up a bag of black licorice and let it sit for like a week until it gets stale.
Oh, no kidding.
And then she'll just chew on it like root. It's crazy.
Huh. Okay.
So she'd be fine.
I can't say I've ever tried that.
Yeah.
But I'm also not a fan of black licorice.
So I love that there's just this random woman just dancing. Just for
hey,
ambiance.
It's Ren Faire, baby.
It's Ren Faire, baby. I wonder
I
how.
I love the necklace.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Ornamentation
the
ornamentation Phillips
has. On it, yeah.
Yeah.
Look at the dragon the ornate nature of it. I love the bridge. I love this ship.
They went for detail. It really is a cool ship. It's just, I don't know if I'd want to be on this ship. Not long term.
I
don't
like
trust
the
this
ship,
lady.
But I don't know if I'd want to be a part of that crew.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think we'd have a very good time.
So clearly a lot of ships have crash landed there.
Yes, it's practically a museum on this desert planet.
I thought we were going to explore that more in this episode because they can't resist 300 callbacks and Easter eggs. But this episode was actually pretty tame.
Yeah, you're right. It's much more mellow than it could have been.
So this episode, this situation immediately made me think of the Voyager episode Gravity.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Where Tuvok and Tom and the Doctor get stranded on a planet and the people over there are like bandits and there's no hope of communication. They're trying to find food, that kind of thing.
Yeah. They're on their own. Yeah. Good callback.
Now, at first I thought this computer was just going to be in the teaser. And for a second, I was just like, man, what a waste of Jeffrey Combs. But I'm glad that he was the main antagonist.
Yeah. And he's just totally killing it in this role. He did such a great job voicing. And now that they've gotten Jeffrey Combs to do his thing on another Trek show, it's time for Von Armstrong. Let's go, baby.
It's also time to bring Combs into Discovery in some fashion. Come on, people.
For real. Why has that not happened yet? Now, I know Disco is not really the callback show, not terribly, but yet. Come on, man.
He could be
it's
a
tradition.
Unique character, though.
Absolutely. Yeah, and if he doesn't want to put a ton of makeup on for a whole episode, give him a guest appearance. Make it a little Easter egg where we have to spot him, you know? Where's Jeffrey Combs instead of where's Waldo?
I love that the computer has, like, little tubules, kind of like Borg.
I love it when they get all animated and he's so excited and they flail around. That was a nice touch.
Now, Boimler made that Bjorn pretty quickly. That baby Bjorn.
Oh, yeah, he did. It's like he knows what he's doing. Where did he pick that up?
I was going to say, like, those are some pretty cool dad skills he's got going on.
You know, I give him about 10 years. Boimler would probably be a pretty cool dad.
I think so.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
I think he'd be nervous, but he would do it.
He'd be a very nervous first-time dad. But that's okay. That means he would do a good job.
I really thought that Boimler was going to impale himself on one of these thorns when he fell.
In season one, that would have been what happened. And he would have had some nasty reaction. He would have blown up. And then this fruit would have splat all over him. And then he would have barfed.
It's such an awesome touch that it tastes like black licorice, too.
Yeah, everything. It's planet black licorice. Yeah, I don't know if I would be thrilled with that. Liquid, dry, any of it. Just the same thing over and over. There's very few things that I can eat over and over and over that I truly enjoy. Do you?
Pizza.
Yeah, I could live off of pizza probably more than anything else. And you can also vary pizza.
That's true.
Quite a bit. Nevertheless.
So these crabs are hilarious. I freaking love these crabs. I wish they come up again, because like he does the little snip snip and then he goes back into the...
Right? And those little glowy eyes. I was hoping they would return too, just because they were like kind of cute in a creepy way.
I thought they would pop up at the end again. Like, you haven't seen the last of me.
Yeah. You know what? Maybe we'll come back to this planet at some point and we can see them again. You never know.
So let's talk about this. Okay. So Mariner.
Yeah.
Goes behind Boimler's back, gets him transferred to a different mission, saying that he's not ready for it. And Ransom's like, Ransom just takes her word for it? So,
yeah, are Ransom and Mariner that tight, really?
Well, just I think it's definitely wrong of Mariner, which we'll talk about, but super wrong of Ransom for
like, to just like blindly
she's
go
not
with
his
it.
Commanding officer. You know, like she now, should have no authority to even do that.
Theory. He's feeling the effect of knowing that Mariner is Captain Freeman's daughter. He might feel obliged to abide by her, even though he tops her in rank and in position on the ship. Could be that dynamic.
You're right.
But
you're right.
You know, I was really wondering while watching that particular clip, is this the computer manipulating Boimler or is this the truth? And it was basically Mariner being the manipulator here. Turns out, I was
wondering that too. Yeah.
Right. So that's what actually makes the twist later on so satisfying is, you know, Mariner, I think in her way, is trying to look out for him. And I think she also misses her companionship with Boimler. She wanted to go on this mission with him and she found that way to make it happen. It's not a good look for her, but that's the outcome she got.
Yeah, I think there needed to be a little, like, I know that we got the outrage from Boimler, but then he turned it up to 11 to fool her. But I feel like there should have been a little bit more of recompense at the end where it were like, he says, he's like, you know, you really shouldn't have done that. Like there should have been something like that.
Yeah, I agree. I would have loved a line where maybe Boimler says something to that effect or Mariner says, look, dude, I'm going to trust you more next time. And I'm not going to go behind your back like that. I'm sorry. Quick apology. Done. That's all you needed.
Because she does give a little something where she recognizes that he excelled, but there should have been more of an apology. Now, this scene, I really like this scene because with Freeman, like, she's super supportive in this. She's acting like a, not only like a, not just a great captain of a starship, but a great captain of a crew. And this was such a little scene, but it just really made me love Freeman more. Like, because I know that in season one, in the beginning of season two, like, Freeman made a lot of stupid ass decisions. But this one really kind of made me see what she could be.
Uh-huh. And here we are with the one scene we get with our lovely, our favorite cat doctor. And did you believe that Rutherford actually died like this?
Well, the right here, no. I was just like, no, there's no way that he died. This has to be this has to be some sort of elaborate prank in order to get Billups in bed.
Yeah,
but then when he's
going to come back to life.
Yeah. But then like when she said like, oh, there's a small part of him that's still alive. I was thinking like, oh, maybe they'll do something with the implant. So maybe he was injured or something.
Right. Or they're going to put the implant on somebody else.
Something crazy like that. But then I was just like,
you never know.
No, this has to be a ruse.
Right. This is the show where we do sci-fi stuff. Anything can happen. And I'm thrilled that it was just a stupid prank. Nice try.
But dark.
Not gonna do it. Dark. Very dark.
You're gonna think that your mother and your subordinate have died in a fiery explosion.
Yeah.
Just so you will see with the guards.
Yeah. That's a lot. Mm-hmm. That I guess shows just how manipulative she is willing to go. So the parallel, of course, is manipulation. We've got the Queen Mother and the supercomputer.
Now, when Boimler shot Mariner, I knew that he was just performing.
Did you?
I
was not sure what he was doing at this point. I didn't know if he had a plan or what he was going to do, or if he really was just beyond the point. And Mariner was right, where he had been manipulated, and now then what?
Yeah. No, like, I knew he was pissed, and I knew his reaction was big, but, like, when he started making such a big show of it and, like, agreeing with the computer a lot, I knew that Boimler wouldn't be that manipulated that easily. Like, yeah, he can be a fool sometimes, but he's not an idiot.
This is true. It also shows that Boimler has grown, probably from his stint on the Titan. Mm-hmm. Yes, we will mention that again.
I love how she called it his study abroad.
Study abroad. Yeah, that was cute.
So today is Bi Awareness Day.
Yes, it is. We're recording this on September 23rd. And Billups is going off not with just one partner, but two.
Yes.
A male and a female. Because and we don't know what his sexual preference is, and maybe he wants to try more than one partner. Who knows?
Maybe he doesn't even know. Like, you know, like maybe he's sworn off sex for so long that he has no idea what his interests are. And so I know that McMahon has gone on record to say that, like, he kind of missed the opportunity in season one to show diverse sexuality.
Yeah.
And in, he said that in his mind, like, everyone's at a base level of being bisexual, which I think in itself is a little odd, but
maybe more pansexual, where, you know, the gender of somebody doesn't matter so much. It's who
Yeah, I mean, like, with it being around so many aliens and different multiple genders and everything like that, even within humans and outside of humans. But
yeah,
I can't think that this is a coincidence that it's released on Bi Awareness Day and there's a bisexual scene in a Star Trek episode.
It could be. That could might be a really good question for Twitter.
Yeah.
Happy coincidence, sure.
Yeah. I mean, when I saw that gigantic codpiece, I figured, like, he was going to be along for the ride.
Yeah. And Star Trek has always had that kind of sexuality. I mean, Gene Roddenberry really liked to flaunt that sort of thing.
Yeah. And we did get a bisexual scene in Discovery with the Orions. Sure. Yeah.
Yes.
But I think that was the first time in Star Trek, I think.
Maybe very blatant, not implied.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. 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 Where there's not like a Dax situation.
Exactly. I love that this guitar like instrument is able to block comms somehow. It has some weird funky vibration.
How cool is that?
Great idea. Very manipulative once again. Like, this whole culture, I think, just is like a manipulative Ren Faire. What is the ultimate end goal here except for losing your virginity to become king?
So come on. You like, this is a very sexual scene.
I mean, it could have been, but
we
feel like
his ass. He talks about we see his ass. He talks about his erection for a TV 14 episode. There is going to be.
I feel like that's appropriate.
Oh my god! No, it said TV 14 for violence, and then it had nothing else. Come on, do not. I'm not trying to be a prude here. I'm talking about how the rating system works.
Well, I don't know. Does that quite hit a TV 14? Maybe.
He says this prince remains dry. Come on.
I feel like a 14-year-old is going to get that just fine and laugh at it. And come on.
No.
I didn't have much of a problem with it.
I'm not being ridiculous. You're being ridiculous.
No, you're being ridiculous.
No, you're being ridiculous.
No, I'm sure. Hey, look, this isn't the first time Lower Decks has kind of gotten provocative with the sexual stuff.
No, yeah.
You know? We don't care.
But we've seen a TV 14 for sexuality before.
Now, okay, with the horn.
With the horn and everything like that. Yeah. And so I'm not saying it wasn't funny or inappropriate. It's hilarious.
No, it is. It really is. I don't know. Maybe. But if it's rated TV 14 anyway, well, I don't know. Use your discretion, parents.
The corpse in this ship, is that the same kind of alien species that was in the episode Booby Trap? Or was it called Booby Trap or Samaritan Snare?
Oh,
I can't remember. I'm getting mixed up. Where, you
I
know,
didn't
like where the Enterprise
at
gets,
all.
Yeah, the Enterprise gets trapped, and there's like a 10,000-year-old computer virus or something like that. And there's a line where Picard said, like, "Oh, when humans were just discovering how to sail the seas, these people were flying in space or something like that." I can't remember.
Huh? It's been such a long time since I've seen that episode. You know what we're going to have to do as soon as we're done with this? We're looking it up. Yep.
An expensive engine? What does that mean?
An expensive engine. Why does that matter in the 24th century?
Yeah. Huh? Yeah, I love Tindy.
Now, I do appreciate them saying, oh, there's going to be times when you're possibly going to die and maybe not. And it's just a part of the job.
Yeah, when because you're just it assumed, is. Assumed dead. Yeah.
Yes.
So first contact uniforms.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, we know branded. Where this is going at this point. Computer has learned nothing.
This was, so this is Daystrom. So we got our first shot of Daystrom in Picard, I think.
Yeah, we did.
And I think that was a similar angle.
I think it's like a shot remake, practically.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And apparently this is where all supercomputers go to argue amongst themselves. I feel like this is a metaphor for the internet. People arguing on the internet.
So much of this looks like gaming.
Did you see? There's a CBS Eye. One of those computers, when it comes on, it's the CBS Eye. Look for it, left-hand side, a little bit center.
I kept looking for it. And I knew there was going to be something. But I was just like, I was really surprised when I couldn't see anything.
I spotted it this time. Oh my God, that's brilliant. Love it.
That's so funny.
Love it. So
well, there's
good.
Our episode. So, I mean, we kind of, during the credits, we talked about what we thought of the episode. And I don't think that's changed. Mm-hmm. This isn't like laugh out loud funny, but this is so entertaining. This is just solid writing, solid performances, and great plot development.
It is. It's good all around. And I actually do feel like we get somewhere in this episode. Our characters do learn something. And I can't wait to see how that's going to kind of affect things down the road, especially between Mariner and Boimler.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Good times. I'm going to watch this one over and over and over. And every time I'm going to enjoy it. That's what I really love about this episode.
Well, if you want to talk to us about this episode, you can find us on social media. You can reach us on Twitter at Join Nerd Party or on Facebook and Instagram at the Nerd Party. Or you can find me on Twitter at The Insane Robin.
Yeah, and I am Oh the Profanity, and let's talk some Lower Decks. Always ready to do LDS.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.